It's clear from our text that Christ was a matter of prayer. Oftentimes, when you, if you're familiar with the life and the ministry of Christ at all, you would find Christ finding opportunities or looking for places to get alone, to be alone in prayer, to spend some time. You see Him often in a mountaintop, and you see Him in the garden there, the Garden of Gethsemane, and you see Him stepping away, finding time to pray, to put a priority on this in His life. And certainly, if Jesus Christ needed to be a person of prayer, we as believers need to be people of prayer. Jesus spent extended periods of prayer before attending to the needs of others. Before you see Him go and do great miracles, before the Mount of Transfiguration, before the cross, each time we see Christ attempting to do great miracles or going to go through a great trial, we see Him in a time of prayer. He gave prayer a high place of priority in His life. Often He put prayer in front of or before things that others thought to be more important. Priorities that they had in their life, or maybe even for Him, Lord, wouldn't you do this? Or isn't this more important? Or what about this situation? And Christ would put prayer in front of that. Although prayer can be a wearisome activity for us, it is in fact a spiritual battle, and that can be a struggle on us. However, through the ministry of prayer, we're strengthened. There is something supernatural that takes place in our heart and in our body when we spend time in prayer. And anybody that has experienced that understands that there is something supernatural, something that only happens because God is real and because God does hear and answer prayer when we spend time with Him. The times that we see Christ in prayer should motivate us to find time in prayer. Here we have Him just having finished feeding the 5,000, and those that were there, the Scripture says, they didn't even really think about how great of a miracle that was, or didn't even really register to them what Jesus did in feeding the 5,000 and how miraculous that miracle was. And yet they see Him here coming to them on the water. Jesus calming the storm. And He prepares for this by spending time in prayer. I want to give you some thoughts tonight about prayer and our prayer life and stir our hearts to this matter. First of all, the prompting of the prayer. The prompting of the prayer. What is it that motivated Christ to spend time in prayer, as we see throughout the Scriptures different situations where He was driven to His knees? What is it that motivated these times of prayer? Well, first of all, I think that one of the big things that motivated His time of prayer was His schedule. And it was not that He was so had so much free time that His schedule was so open that He said, "Oh, I've got nothing to do from here to here, and so I'm going to spend that in prayer." No, that was not what pushed His schedule to have a time of prayer. The problem was is that He could never find a time alone. He was always with the people. His schedule was one that was very busy and very full, and He had more than He could do in the time that He had to get it done. And so He spent time in prayer. Have you ever been to a place where you felt like you had more to do than you had time to get it done? I know we've all been there. I know we've all felt overwhelmed by the task that we need to accomplish. We've felt incapable of getting done all that we've got to do. Well, that ought to drive us to our knees in prayer. It ought to motivate us to see our need for God when we feel insufficient. Yet so many times Christians aren't driven to their knees. They're driven directly to the task, because the task is there and needs to be done. And our schedules, instead of driving us to prayer, are driving us away from it. Everywhere Christ went, He was overtaken by crowds. Everywhere He went, they would gather around Him. You see Him at times even He cast Himself out in the boat to be away, and the people would gather on the shore, and He taught them from the shore. On occasion, you see, like we see in our text here, that Christ sent them away. But you know, it's neat to see how Christ took time with people. He had time for the crowds. Christ has time for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever prayer request you have, God has time for you. He wants to hear your prayer. He wants to listen to you. He wants to talk to you. Are you so busy you find it hard to find time to be alone in prayer? When we are most overwhelmed, that's when we need to spend the most time in prayer. But for most Christians, a busy day does not mean more time in prayer. A busy day means less time in prayer. Oh, I've got time today, so I'll spend time in prayer this morning. And then the next day, when we have a full schedule and we're overwhelmed by our task, what is it that we leave out? Our prayer. I can do without that. I know that's where we are as Christians. I know that when the schedule is full, our time with God is one of the first things to go. Martin Luther once asked by someone what his plans for the following day were, and he answered, "Work, work, and work, from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." He was so overwhelmed by what he needed to accomplish that he said, "I'll spend the first 3 hours of my day in prayer." That's the opposite for us today. When we're overwhelmed by what we need to do, we immediately drop prayer and get right at the task, when what we need to do is be driven to prayer. Christ was motivated to times of prayer by seduction. The devil will come and seduce you away. The devil will bring every kind of temptation into your life. The devil would try and motivate you and keep you from spending time in prayer, but he'll also bring temptation into your life that you need God's power to overcome. We see him come and tempt Jesus Christ, and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He comes to Christ and he offers him the world. He offers him pride and the pride of life. And Jesus says no. Jesus got word of the fact that the people wanted to make him king. I mean, can you imagine him being king before he went to the cross? That would circumvent God's plan. But they wanted to be rid of the Roman government. They wanted to get rid of that. They wanted to, "Hey, Jesus is here. He's the king. Let's anoint him right now. Let's set him up." And can you imagine the temptation? Jesus didn't want to go through the cross. He got in prayer and he sweat, as it were, drops of blood, asking God, "Lord, would you let this cup pass from me?" He didn't really want to go through that. But for him to be crowned king and not go by the way of the cross would circumvent God's plan. And Satan tempted him with that. Do you understand? Temptation in your life ought to drive you to prayer, to get God's power to overcome that temptation, to get victory over that sin in your life. Prayer helps us focus on what is important. It takes the things that we look at in our life, and as we spend time in prayer, those things that seem to be so important, they kind of fade away. They aren't so pressing anymore. God is able to, in our time of prayer, to refocus our priorities and help us realize what is truly important, and to overcome the seduction of the devil, the temptation that he brings. Christ's motivation for prayer was motivated by a need for strength. He needed refreshing. He had been ministering and ministering and ministering and ministering, and the people were always there, and he always wanted to care for the people. And he took time, just like I said, he took time with the people. But as we see in our text here, he said, "And when he had sent the multitudes away," Jesus knew that there was a time that he had to get alone and pray. He just had to. He had to get alone and spend some time in prayer. He needed to be refreshed, not just physically, but spiritually, at a place of complete and utter exhaustion. One needs the healing balm that's found only in the place of prayer. You know, Christ needed spiritual strength to face what he was going to face. He needed spiritual strength to continue to do the will of the Father. And we make a mistake when we only look for physical strength when we're fighting spiritual battles. Now, physical strength does play into our ability to be victorious as a Christian. You know, when you're weary, when you're tired, it's a lot easier to get upset. When you're wearied and you're tired, it's a lot easier to fly off the handle and lose your temper. It's a lot easier for Satan to get you and to tempt you with that sin. You're weary, you're tired, and you can't stand. So your physical strength, it plays into that. But do you understand the Christian life? We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And we're making a mistake when all we do is get our hours of sleep at night and rejuvenate physically and haven't done anything to rejuvenate spiritually. We have got to spend some time in prayer to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be strengthened. It's true we need physical refreshment, but it's even more true and a greater need is that of spiritual refreshment. If you don't get the spiritual refreshment you need, the physical rejuvenation will not last long. I know that if you've been a Christian any length of time, that you've come into a church service weary. You've come in and thought, man, I'm so tired, I don't even want to be here tonight. I'm just here because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. Don't tell anybody, I just don't want to be here. I'm just tired. And you've come into church so tired and so physically weary. But I know that you have experienced the refreshing Spirit of God, where God came in and met with you, spoke to your heart, stirred you, rejuvenated you. You didn't get a nap. You didn't get a good, healthy meal. You didn't get anything physically, but for some reason, you left church rejuvenated. You left church strengthened. You left church with more energy than you had when you came in. You left church saying, hey, I can do this. And man, I'm glad I was in church tonight because I needed that. That's what I needed from God. And that's what I'm saying is physical strength lasts for but a moment, but spiritual strength given to us by God will give us strength when our physical strength is gone from God. But it comes by spending time in prayer. Most of us feel physical exhaustion, but we don't even realize when we are spiritually exhausted. We feel the physical exhaustion and we know it's there and I'm so tired and I'm so weary, but we are so unfamiliar with the rejuvenating power of having spent time with God that we don't even realize how weak we are spiritually. We're not even familiar enough with that we know, man, I'm just spiritually exhausted. Man, I need God to do something. These things should move us to the place of prayer. Should prompt us to get there. Where is the place of prayer? I want you to point out a couple of things about the place of prayer that we see in our text here. It was a preferred place. It was a preferred place. Christ had a habit of going into the mountain to pray. Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. You know, he did that here, but he did it also In Luke chapter 6, it says he went into the mountain all night to pray. And in Luke chapter 9, verse number 28, he prayed up in the mountain before the Mount Transfiguration. In Matthew, and then here in our text, he went up into the mountain. At least four different times we see that he went into the mountain to pray. I think there's something about having a place of prayer. A place that you're very familiar with, that for you, it's where you get a hold of God. There are some people who like coming into the house of God to pray. I've had people on occasion ask, hey, is the church open? Could I come and just pray? Certainly you can come and just pray. And people on occasion have come and they just want to be in God's house to spend some time in prayer. But you don't have to be in God's house. But I think that there should be a place for you that is precious, that's a preferred place, where you really want to get alone with God and you say, I want to get in my place of prayer. Do you have a prayer closet? Do you have a prayer room? Do you have a place that is your preferred place of prayer? It's just familiar to you. It's a place where you've got a hold of God and seen Him do great things. I've told you before about how at college it was so hard to get alone because there was people everywhere and the dorms full of guys. And I had a place where I would go down over by Lake Michigan as you enter into the dunes there. There was a power line that cut across the road and they would mow a service road up into those power lines. And I would go and drive over there and I would drive in that service road and you get to the first tower. And underneath the first tower, they kept the grass there mowed. And I would park my car and get out and just walk around. That's what happened to my hair, baby. I don't know. I would spend a lot of hours walking around underneath that tower, those power lines there, talking to God. And even now, when my heart is heavy, when I'm really looking to get alone with God, my heart longs to be there. It's 700 miles from here. But it's just a place where I saw God so real and so strong. He had met with me so many times and answered my request and fed me when I needed fed and gave me strength when I was weak. And I just spent so much time there. When I'm hungry for the presence of God, I long to be in that place. Is there a place where you've gotten a hold of God in such a real and powerful way that your heart longs for it? Jesus said, I've got to get alone. I've got to get up into the mountain. I've got to talk to my Father. Is there a place that you long for to get a hold of your God that you know like that? It was a private place. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. Yes, we can bow our heads here in church, and as we, in a few minutes, are going to spend some time in prayer for the needs of our church. We need to be in here and praying together as a church and lifting up our voices. And yes, where two or three are gathered together, He is here in the midst of us. And there's something about corporate prayer together as a church. But that should never be the only time we bow our head in prayer. Where we long to pray and get with God. We ought to have a preferred place that's a private place. You can't really pour your heart out to God in a place where there's people around. You can't really speak to your Lord. You can't really just let it all out and just cry out to God and just get to the place where there's nothing between you and your Savior. And let Him know every burden and every heartache and every trial you're facing. Let Him know. Every request you have, you've got to get alone for that. It was a private place. Up into the mountain. The greater the public life, the greater the need for private prayer. Have you ever just wanted to get alone with God? Just wanted to get alone. I'm talking about at the close of a service where God spoke to your heart. And you just said, I just need to get alone with God. I don't need to spend time with my wife, and I don't need to spend time with, I just need to get alone with God. I just gotta, you know, honey, we'll just see you at home later. I've just gotta spend some time with God. Have you ever longed for that private place where it's just you and Him? Just getting alone with God. Just talking to Him. Your King, your Savior, your Lord, your friend. A private place where you just get alone for God. The place of prayer. When we are prompted, motivated to spend time in prayer, and we get into that place of prayer, we get the privilege of seeing the power that prayer brings. There is great power in prayer. It is in the private prayer closet that we get the power to work in the public. We see Christ's great power when He went and He walked on the water. In Matthew, turn back there, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 25, we see Him coming and walking on the water here. He says, but while men slept, His enemy came, and I am not in the wrong time. 13, chapter 14, verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. What a display of power. Walking on the sea. Lockyer said this, it's much easier to walk upon a stormy sea after having walked with God in the mountaintop. You see, Jesus spent time in the mountaintop and got power from His Father and then walked on the water. You know, in fact, it's easier to walk anywhere when you spend some time in the mountaintop with God. You say, Pastor Caleb, I'm not planning to walk on the water. Well, you got to walk to work tomorrow, don't you? Well, at work, maybe not to work. You got the course of your life, the steps that you're called to take, walking through your day's journey. I can tell you this, it's a lot easier when you first walked on the mountaintop with your Father. Our steps are strengthened and sanctified through supplication. We see His power when He reaches down and He saves Peter from sinking. You know that your ability to help others is greatly determined by the time you spent with Him alone in prayer. Jesus reached down, and you know the story. Peter came and walked on the water towards Him and, of course, got his eyes off of Him and looked away and began to sink and cries out, Lord, save me. But Jesus reaches down and saves him, lifts him up. God has a plan for you maybe to reach down and to lift somebody else up, to point them to Jesus, to show them the way of the cross, to help them through their discouragement, to give them some encouraging words, to encourage them to be faithful to God, to feed them something spiritual that'll help them stick by the stuff. God's got somebody He wants you to reach down and pick up out of this miry clay, to pick up out of the wickedness of this world and encourage them to do something for God. But if we haven't prepared, if we don't have power in private prayer, when God calls upon us, reach out for that man. Reach out for that lady. Help that person. We're too spiritually weak to make a difference in their life. We need to be people of prayer. If we're going to help others, we've got to spend time in prayer by ourselves. The church needs the power, but prayer times are few, and attendance in those prayer times is even fewer. You know, the old timers used to spend extended periods of time in prayer. But today we're less interested in prayer and preaching and more interested in entertainment and playing. What is your heartbeat? Do you desire to see God work in a mighty way? Do you desire to see God do great things? I want to challenge you, church. We need to be a church of prayer. We need to be individuals that are driven to our knees by our schedules and by avoiding the temptations of this world, and because we realize that we need strength. And we need to have a place where we get alone with God and seek His power and His provision for our life. And when we do so, we'll be able to see God do great things through us and in our midst.